It's the International Puck Supply Radio Show, dedicated to bringing you the greatest in punk hits. On the mic today, we got the Hoosiers' own Mr. Better Yet.
I'm here from the region reporting. Happy to be here, y'all. Thank you for inviting me on.
We're happy to have you, as always. As always.
I thought he was DJ Better Yet.
I was
and
a little
Mr. Better Yet.
Yeah, I was a little taken by that. Mr. Better Yet is my father's name. Please call me DJ Better Yet.
Live from Tokyo, the man himself, Mr. Little Tokyo.
Oh, fuck you. I'm actually happy to see you, Pat.
Oh.
I do thanks. Think that's a good one. That's Mr. Little Tokyo
yeah,
to you.
Yeah, that's Mr. Little Tokyo to you, yeah. Bud. Huh?
This is working out.
For your future crime boss career.
My daughter?
Oh, God.
She's going to be my crime boss. That's what I thought you were going to say.
Well done. And coming to you live from the Heat Dome, it's the one and only DJ Hollywood.
Hot enough for you.
It's fucking brutal.
Oh, man. You've been in the 405 lately?
No, I've been in the 91 to 96 degree bakery kitchen lately.
Oh.
So I'm happy to be in AC right now. Feels great.
This guy moves to California and complains about how hot it is.
Hey, we're in a heat dome, come on, buddy. Man. Okay. A heat dome. It's kind of like the opposite of the polar vortex, right? There's just a dome of heat.
Yeah, it's called the Earth. And it's just getting hotter.
Oof, harsh realities
about. Greenhouse effect, whatever.
Yeah.
I guess the greenhouse effect traps the heat in.
You know, I gotta say, guys, life really is amazing.
Truly is.
That's why I played that song.
I like that song, Joey. Tell us more.
It's Condominium with Life is Amazing. One of the best bands to ever come out of Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got a lot of incredible musicians and bands that have come out of there. But that's one of my favorites.
One of the best Midwestern hardcore bands ever?
Yeah, without a doubt.
Probably.
Actually, this is Warm Home, when it came out in like 2011. I don't actually know when it came out, but it was like around like 2011. And the back cover is from a live show at summer camp.
Oh.
Or it might be the insert.
Yeah, that was a show where they played, I think it's like the last track or the second to last track, and it was so hot. And the drummer didn't really want to play the song, but they forced him to anyway. So it has like that just crazy fill at the end.
Oh, yeah. It's nuts.
Yeah, that was a great show.
That band was...
incredible.
Always so good to see live.
Timmy, you'd never heard Condominium before?
I mean, maybe I have. You say that came out in 2011. That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
I do remember... 2011, Minneapolis had a lot of good bands at that time, a lot of good pop punk bands. I think that I went to see Dillinger Four on the 4th of July in maybe 2010 or 2011. So,
yeah, I mean, they've got incredible pop punk bands from there. Yeah, and like you're right, that time was kicking for sure. But the hardcore shows were also really, really good. Boiling Over played up there with Condominium, right, Pat?
Yeah.
In 2008?
No, 2009 when we went on our like summer tour. Our summer tour.
Oh, that's right.
Played a record shop in St. Paul. I think it was St. Paul. With Condominium, Black Breath.
Yeah, what a wild show.
And there was one other band, I can't remember. But yeah, that was a really wild show. It was in like at a record store in like a little venue space they had, and there was like barely anyone there, which is surprising too.
Oh, that's not surprising. Yeah, especially because
like but Black Breath was like
they were a big band, and Condominium was the hometown pride at the time. That was when they were a four piece too.
Yeah.
So was that record store space? Did it have like a little stage in the back?
Yeah,
maybe. It had a whole separate room.
Yeah, but the stage was what, maybe like 8 inches above the ground. It was basically like a step.
I thought it was a pretty big stage.
I
don't really remember. Yeah.
The Please and Thank Yous played at a record store in Minneapolis, which is why I ask.
Connecting
at
the
least
dots.
I think we did. We also played at a bar in Minneapolis with the Slow Death, and I remember.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we showed up. We were touring with the band Kitty Hawk, and the Please and Thank Yous were on the show, but Kitty Hawk wasn't. But we were on tour with them, so we got there. Asked Pretty Boy Thorson if Kitty Hawk could play too, and he was immediately just like, "Yeah, you guys can play last." And so the Slow Death played, and most of the room was cleared out when we played.
Right,
it was like, yeah, kind of earned.
Yeah,
not telling him in advance that we were on tour with another band who we would also like to play.
Yeah,
on the show. Yeah. Joey, that tour that you're talking about, was that the one where you jerked off into a Bible? Because I definitely remember you texting me saying, "I just jerked off into a Bible," and I was just like, "Cool, man."
Didn't we talk about this already on the show?
Oh, we may have.
Maybe not.
It was been on this show like four times. You can't expect me to.
It was in a hotel in North Carolina, I believe.
Or either that or Virginia.
No, it was North Carolina.
Okay, maybe different tour if you're going to Minneapolis.
No. It's that same tour.
Same tour.
It's
that same tour.
Yeah, it was like, it was like a 20-something day tour.
It's like 28 days?
Did you really? It,
yeah.
Yeah, it was...
We circled around the Midwest and then went down to the south, up the East Coast.
We like graduated like, I don't know, like a week before or something like that.
Yeah. Totally.
And then we were just like, let's fucking go. It was cool. But yeah, Minneapolis, I think Jim talked about it when we did the Pop Punk episode, where we got paid $9 and a very little amount of weed. And we were all straight edge at the time.
Right.
Wow.
What did you do with the weed? Yeah. Did you sell it?
No, because it was honestly not enough to like put... Like, it was, like, the amount that would be, like, you could barely fill, like, a one-hitter. It was not much. So we're just like, thanks. And I think we just left it at the house. We, like, took it out and then...
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. So, the reason for my rock block today is I had last week off and I decided to... actually update my Discogs and catalog all my records. And so I went through a lot of them, and while I was cataloging them, which took a really long time, I listened to a lot of records I hadn't for a while. And so these are some records that I have that I hadn't listened to for a while, and I started listening to them again, and they're good, so I'm gonna share them with you guys. So this first song is by Veronica Falls, and it's called Bad Feeling. Oh, and by the way, pretty much all these came out like between 2010 and 2013. I think they're all in that range.
Right, I'll generate some good Obama Mitt Romney election quips while we listen to these tunes.
Let's do it.
Close my eyes.
All right, we're back. That was Slay Them by Black Bug. And before that was Huff Stuff Magazine with Big Black Cloud. And we started off with Bad Feeling by Veronica Falls.
I feel like Klaz is always talking about Veronica Falls, right?
Yeah, we brought it up in the Discord a couple times. Shout outs to Klaza. That one goes out to Klaza and Liz Pinella.
I'm not sure I've ever really listened to them before this moment, so that was really good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, they have two LPs, and they're both great. And the main singer, she went on to do a band called Patience, and I think she's in L.A.
Ooh.
I think she's right around the corner from you.
The Heat probably. Dome.
Yeah. She's trapped in the Heat Dome, but making very good music.
Cool.
It's very like electro. It's like one person kind of electronic, her singing, but it's really good. But nothing can top Veronica Falls for me.
Yeah, I really like that. I think that when it first started, you can obviously hear like the sonic influences, and I don't want to say that I like boxed them into what it was going to sound like, but the chorus I felt was like, oh wow, this is pulling from a much deeper reservoir of just like songwriting talent. I was really, really taken by that song, which I sort of thought was going to go down a single lane. But yeah, I thought that was a great track.
No, I thought that's one of the reasons I picked that song, is because when the chorus kicks in, you're like, oh shit, this is fucking great.
Yeah.
And yeah, really, really reminded me of like my favorite Sarah Records releases. Just beautiful stuff. Pat, I still have your Sarah Records book. I should send that back to you.
You should, please.
I really like that Huff Stuff Magazine track too. It's just fucking banger. Love the bass on it.
Dude, I love that band so much. And there are only two songs on YouTube. There's no Bandcamp. I think that comes from the demo, but they put out an LP in like 2012, 2013. But then, unfortunately, the singer passed away. And he was also in a few other bands. He was in this band called Ringers. He was in Neon Piss. And he was early on in Witches with Dicks.
Oh, wow.
So, R.I.P. But, yeah, I feel like I found that, or someone recommended it to the Boiler Bros on one of the Boiler Man tours. And, you know, loved it from the beginning. And then, as I was going through records at my parents' house to bring back, I'm like, fuck, I've got to bring this back because there's no way to listen to it any other way. So, like, got to just crank the vinyl. So if you can find it, it's called Sugar Mountain. Check it out.
We'll be soul-seeking.
Nice.
Most definitely.
Yeah, I guess soul-seek is another way. I imagine it's on there. But yeah, and then the last thing.
Well, what did you think about that song, Pat? Did you like it?
Oh yeah.
Respectfully, not for me.
Yeah, that's why I was
interesting.
Skipping ahead.
Interesting.
I mean,
how did you know that already, Joey? That he didn't.
Because I know.
Were you watching Pat's him?
Shitty taste? Oh, okay. No. I just know his taste.
Honestly, I also thought it was too long.
I could see that,
but.
Yeah, it was pushing 3 minutes.
You don't need a guitar solo.
No, I liked it, but you know, I can see. Moving on to that last one.
I want everybody listening to think that I just brought that up, knowing what was going to happen and knowing what was going to be said. Just everybody think I'm a little bit smarter than I actually am, please.
We do. Don't worry.
Yeah, everyone does. The last band is from Sweden, and they're called Black Bug, and I actually didn't find out about them until I moved to Japan, and Joe Anderson from my band Dust Eaters and Death by Raygun here, he introduced them to me, and I fucking love them. I love them so much. They put out two LPs, and then a handful of 7-inches. This one was actually released by a Chicago label called Hozak. Do you guys know Hozak Records?
Yeah.
So, what do you guys think of that?
I feel like it's the...
I've sent it to you before.
I feel like it's the genesis of Capelcore, to where it's like kind of started and where you are at now. So it's like you had this kind of like scruffy, you know, pop punk adjacent sort of music that kind of, it goes and goes and goes, and then you're like, oh, you're bringing in this like drum machine and electronic influences, and now like on this end of the spectrum you're just like really into like synth stuff, and like, you know, right in the middle is where this band is.
Okay. No, it's like a very... That's pretty good.
I'm just connecting the dots over here. No big deal.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess I did start getting into electronic music when everyone else did as well. So,
but no, that was a cool hopping track on the trends. That was cool. I enjoyed it.
Tim, what about you?
Not for me. Respectfully.
All right, then. I got two out of three in this little block. From each of you.
I did like how blown out it sounded. I thought that
sounds
was
like
cool.
Shit. Yeah. Love it.
Tim, are you a fan of the more recent like synth punk wave?
Not as much, and I just say that in a like my exploration of it has been limited. So,
yeah.
You know, it's with no malice, no. I haven't been a fan, but I
me too. It's tough
to keep up with anything these days.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to Tim.
Oh, that sounds like a fantastic idea. So I thought we'd start us off with a track from the new upcoming Meatwave album, Malign Hex. Can you believe it's been 5 years since we've had a Meatwave LP?
Well, wait, what?
Was that last time they did an EP?
Yeah.
But it was like, I mean, it was like, what, seven, six tracks?
Six tracks. Yeah. I mean, it's a long EP. That's a 12-inch EP, for sure. Yeah.
All right.
But...
So wait, have they only come out with two LPs?
Well, they've got three LPs. They did
Delusion Moon,
but there's Delusion also Moon. That self-titled thing that they put out. Yeah, which is very good. David Anthony's favorite Meatwave record, I believe.
Yeah.
Shout out.
The best.
The one and only.
And then The Incessant in 2017. They were... unfortunately, one of the victims of Side One Dummy just kind of collapsing, within 2 years of building themselves into a new label for new bands. This has been long delayed, but it's a very good record, and I'm very excited for it to be coming out. This track is called What Would You Like Me to Do? This is Meatwave on the International Punk Radio Supply Hour Power.
No matter how shallow,
That was You Are Every Girl to Me by MJ Lenderman. Put out a record this year called Boat Songs. I didn't pre-plan this, but all those songs had really nice meandering little outros that are a little separate from the tracks themselves. Maybe that can be the theme of the episode, or at least this block of the episode.
Of Tim's block.
Of Tim's block, meandering outros, part one. That MJ Lenderman record was very kindly sent to me by Hollywood himself from the Heat Dome. Man, Pat, you went out of your way to get me to listen to that record. And
yeah.
I do appreciate it.
Sometimes, I mean, I know this about you to know that if I send you something and I really want you to listen to it, I really have to pester you to listen to it. And
yeah.
The moment I heard that record, I knew it was for you. So, yeah.
As much appreciated, like, I don't know if you caught this in listening to it, Pat, but there's many, many wrestling references in those songs. on top of it just being great, like, Melina and Neil Young worship, but still, like, dirty and grimy. There's vibes that remind me a lot of my favorite Lou Barlow.
Releases. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's a good I didn't think about that Lou Barlow comparison, but that makes sense to me for sure. Yeah, I mean, like, the Melina and Young references for sure are, like, obvious. But I don't know. He does it similar to a band I'll play. It's like he does it with, like, I don't know, a youthful panache that, like, takes just a slightly different take on it, and it sounds refreshing.
Yeah, I think that track is illustrative of that point that you're making, because that, you know, the beginning of that riff is just straight Neil, like, da-na-na-na-na. But yeah. Then he throws in that, you know, that kind of off-time measure, I think, to just give it that life to it. So I like the way he, yeah, goes back to, like, a bouncy riff, but adds some weird stuff in there. Textures are good, tones are good.
Yeah, it's a fantastic record.
Joey, what'd you think of it?
I mean, it's definitely not Capelcore.
It's definitely not Capelcore. Despite the drum machine at the beginning.
Yeah.
I did notice that. I also really liked the weird drum, like, kind of off-time drumming at the end where it's just kind of playing around. I really enjoyed that. I enjoyed it. I just don't see myself, like, downloading it, buying the album or anything like that.
Which is all right, because I know that you were hit straight to the core, the hardcore of the Capelcore, by both tracks that preceded it. I mean, how fucking good is Love 7 and 7 is,
dude,
from 1966 to Capo.
Dude, you need to send me some more of that stuff, because I think after the last time you played, what was it that you played? The
Game Theory?
Roxy Music, maybe? Or Game Theory,
Roxy,
yeah.
Music?
No, it wasn't, yeah, it wasn't, well, but, like, on that same episode, you played The Pleasure Seekers.
That's right, yeah.
The Pleasure Seekers. We talked about, like, was it Numero Group did a playlist?
Mm-hmm. That was from a Numero Group playlist. Sure.
Did you, like, is that where you get a lot of your, like, 60s garage rock stuff from?
Sometimes, yeah. Love is a band that I think I just heard them referenced to by other bands. Yola Tango covers A House Is Not a Motel from Forever Changes, which is the thing with Love is there are really only three records before they kind of drift off into something not as great, but Forever Changes and Da Capo, the second and third records, are 10 out of 10s. Like, you'll see Forever Changes a lot on, like, top 100 album lists. So I think that they were just a band that were somewhere in the periphery of, like, this is a 60s band that a lot of, like, punk adjacent bands end up referencing in the 80s. Or it might have just been like, sometimes you'd see the name enough and you want to fill in the hole. And I think Love was just like, I heard people like this band, and, like, you know, it's at the same time as the Beach Boys and the Kinks and the Beatles and all this stuff, but it's got a whole different flavor to it. It's also coming out of California too, with a sound that I think you hear very much in the MC5 and the Stooges in Detroit only a few years later.
Right.
Yeah, Joe, I think if you saw some of their record covers, you'd be like, oh, that band, okay. Because mm-hmm. two of their record covers are, like, you see them everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Thanks for playing that, Tim. I've always been meaning to check out Love, and I just haven't gotten around to it yet.
Dude, they're great because they're super easy. You can just go De Capo and then listen to Forever Changes. They come out within a year of each other. It's a just perfect little run. And the first album is really good too. So if you listen to those second and third, you listen to De Capo, you listen to Forever Changes, listen to that self-titled record too, you'll see that they change pretty abruptly from, like, a folk influence thing into something that's much more charged, driving. But yeah, man, I fucking love Love.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna download that shit later. Nice. And then Meatwave. Fucking Meatwave.
Yeah, we got into a discussion in the chat here. Meatwave, underrated or properly rated?
Or overrated, but no or, way.
They're, no, way they're, they're overrated.
No way.
There's no world where they're overrated.
I think generally, I'll defend my point here, generally with them, like, the greater, like, punk subcultural, what have you, I think they're surely underrated. I mean, it's hard because we're in the Chicago bubble, so, like, we see everyone's always big up in them, but I don't know. They should get more shine than they deserve. I mean, more shine than they already have right now.
They get more than they deserve already. Is what you heard it here. You heard it here first. Pat Nordyke, DJ Hollywood.
Go ahead.
We were also talking about the drummer. The drummer is fucking incredible.
He's so just good. Like, so he's so good. Incredibly good. It sounds as though he's just playing the same. It's just like a basic thing, but he's doing it with such, like, he's just in the pocket. It's mm-hmm. charged. It's just fucking moving, and there's always this little flair that's just like, what.
Also, like, sometimes I don't even know what the fuck he's doing with the kick pedal.
Yeah.
Like, he also hits it so hard.
Hard, oh yeah.
I love, like, in, like, 2014, 2015, seeing Meatwave, like, a lot when they first started. And, yeah, just watching him play was fucking incredible.
Yeah, it's just like he's always, like, firing on all cylinders, but it may not seem like it, but then it's like you notice it and you just can't be like, yeah. I think I like Meatwave best when they're dirging like that and, like, really meandering and, like, just weird. And that track was fucking great.
Yeah.
Totally.
That's, like, the best type of Meatwave.
I absolutely 100% agree. I think that, you know, what's great about Meatwave, and thinking back to seeing them a lot early on, Joey, when you're talking about in 2013, 2014, is that this is a band that, like, was not supposed to be as serious as they ended up being. They're just so fucking good. And when they started off, first of all, they decided to name their band Meatwave, and they were so fucking good right away. And they were also so drunk and, like, did not give a fuck about doing anything other than just playing, and the recognition on all three of their parts of the fact that they're a very good band, and then they decide to really pursue it in the way that they do. The foundation of this song is just a very well played drum beat. And it's like the power of somebody who's like able to hit a groove and make it seem just so enormous. And then you have that bass, which is fucking such a great chugging rhythm. It goes different places than you're expecting it to. Like, there is a lot of movement in what is really just 4 minutes of kind of playing the same long pattern.
Yeah, so that like really reminded me, the chorus aside, of Shellac. Like, like that, like just driving, especially with how he's like doing the bass, is very, very, very Bob Weston of Shellac for sure. And it was really cool.
Yeah.
Do you know who recorded this?
They did. It wasn't Joe recorded this.
Oh, they did.
They recorded this in their practice space. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah, because then...
And Joe, you know, aside from the Albini record, The Incessant, I think Joe has done most of their recording.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, it sounds fucking great.
Great band. All Chris has to do is just hit those, like, weird chords at the end of each bar and then build. It's just, what a perfect band.
Yeah.
You interviewed Chris, right?
Yeah. Dude, I was so taken by The Incessant that I, like, listened to it probably 6 or 7 times the night before I recorded that interview with him, and I was convinced that he was making references to a book that I was reading because I was so like fucking just
you're in it.
In it, man. Yeah. I cut that part out of the interview where I was like, have you read this book? And he's like, no. And I'm like, oh well, all right, let me
then never mind. I was just going to say, like, because was he in Bust? Was that the only band that...
Yeah, he plays in, like, the end of Bust. He, I don't know if he's on any of those recordings, but, like, was a live member of Bust towards the end of it. And maybe he plays on, like, you know, something towards the end, but I don't think any of, like, the LPs. But yeah, that's where he comes from, is, like, that world, Chris. And Ryan.
Like, Elgin area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That,
right?
Yeah, because like I feel like that Elgin world was like by itself, and like I felt like they were kind of just like different scenes, and they were from like the scene that we weren't necessarily a part of, and then they just blew up, and it's great. No, like I mean I really like them.
Yeah, but they do come really from like the world of like the Sass Dragons and all of the cassette deck bands.
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
Who,
yeah.
Yeah, that was a whole thing that was going on,
like, you know, parallel to what was going on in Chicago, and sometimes they would meet and sometimes they just stayed in LA.
Yeah, it's interesting. Meatwave is just such an incredible group of musicians, and Ryan and Chris have been playing together since they were in high school too. I think that they go like that far back.
That's cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
That is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. That'd be like me if me and Pat Klaza played music together when we were in high school. Could have kept that shit going. Too bad.
All we have is the Brainwash demo.
Well, I mean, for real. Yeah. I mean, Joey, you've experienced this plenty of times. When a songwriter finds a drummer that they like, you want to stick with them like
right
forever.
Actually, I don't know what that's like. No one's ever wanted me to stick with them forever, so.
Well, I personally
I'm just kidding.
I always like playing with you as a drummer more than Mikey Guzman for sure.
I was gonna say dish it out, man.
No, more than Marcus. Marcus will be mine forever if I ever record music.
That's fair. It's like, I mean, like, there's certain people that you just click with and you stick with. It's like, I feel like Jim and I could just start playing again, like,
very true.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
It would be the same. It's like riding a bike again for the first time after you put it away.
It's like an odd musical, like, synchronicity. Couple years.
I mean, it's kind of why Strangers is better than Raw Nerve.
The music.
All respect to Joseph Seeger. All respect.
Oh no, I mean, I think Joey Seeger's like one of my favorite like Chicago drummers. I fucking love him. But I think like Strangers had that because it was Boilerman plus Ralph.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we were so used to like playing with each other, and then it was just like, oh yeah, we'll just make these like hardcore songs and have Ralph sing them, and it was easy. But yeah,
I fucking love that band.
I like Strangers more than Runner, but you know,
we all should.
You all should.
No, like everyone should. Strangers was underrated.
Well, we didn't really do a whole lot. Like, I mean, we didn't play that many shows. We did a 4-day tour or something like that, too.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. This is getting weird.
All right, we're going to listen to the band Flower Town with a track called Buttercream.
Thank you.
rocking with the Berries in the song Prime. Right before that, we heard Strawman Army with Underland and started off with Flower Town's Buttercream. Definitely keeping that meandering outro rhythm going.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. That was a good block, Pat. Good block, oh, Pat.
Thank you.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. I think my favorite was the Flower Town.
I didn't know if you'd like that, actually, because usually that's not your bag.
I mean, like bedroom kind of pop.
Yeah.
Kind of like, I don't know, dreamy. I don't know. I feel pretty sleepy right now. So it
put me
in. It was like a nice calming song.
I feel like there's a pretty one-to-one connection with that Veronica Falls track.
Yeah, they're certainly pulling from the same spot for sure. Mm-hmm. Sarah Records, again, definitely.
Name like yeah, Flower Town and a song called Buttercream.
Yeah, yeah, right.
I'll have some biscuits.
They're from the Bay Area, and there's a really just amazing Bay Area like bedroom pop, dream pop, indie rock scene going on right now. That I think they're all kind of connected, like April Magazine and Slumberland stuff. Mm-hmm. Like there's just so many fantastic bands.
Top five label.
Slumberland? Yeah.
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 Top five label. Also Veronica Falls, that record I think was on Slumberland.
Ah.
In the US. Or at least the second one was.
Flower Town, that record is on Paisley Shirt Records,
yep,
in San Francisco. I mean, we're fucking all in on this band.
Yeah, quite obvious with the references. And the singer, the lady also sings in the band Cindy, too, who released a record, I think, on Paisley Street as well.
Cindy, too?
Cindy, number two? No. Cindy, C-I-N-D-Y.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Liked it a lot.
I've been meaning to check out that Strawman Army record because I've seen it on La Vidas and Muse.
It's such a good record. It's really weird. Like it has like those kind of the kind of anarcho post punk energy.
Yeah,
but
definitely
there's some like I don't know. There's just. There's a weird, like, kind of, like, paranoid tension to that record that's really, really cool. And it isn't always charging like that. It kind of slows down several points and really expanding their sound from what they did before.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing with, like, the anarcho kind of vocals.
Yeah.
Reminds me a lot of, like Diot or, like, what is it, Clock of Time?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Those vocals.
Yeah, a little bit, kind of, for sure.
I mean, in all that stuff, like, but it's really good. Really like that.
Is this podcast sponsored by La Vida soon?
I mean,
it should be.
I mean, if we're ever going to do that thing where, like, you know, you could put in, like, everyone needs to type out International Punk Supply, you get 10% off your order at La Vida Sin Muse, I'd be down. I mean, I need to probably put in an order. I need to get that Mock Execution LP.
Oh, I still haven't checked that out.
That's great. It's really good. We'll save that for the diss episode.
The diss episode.
Can't wait for that one. That was going to be great.
But yeah, then we close that out with a new single from the latest Berries record. Tim, obviously you're familiar with the Berries. Joey, how about you? Have you heard of them before?
Enlighten me.
Have you ever heard of the band Big Bite?
I've heard of them. I don't think I've heard them.
They did some touring with Super Crush.
Oh, yeah. That's where I know them from. I don't think I checked them out, except I might have seen them on like an Instagram video or something, but no.
Kind of like
what about them?
Big Bite was like an aggressive, like shoegazy-ish a band. Really, really cool. Really, really cool band. Their last record, Trinity, is like so good. But this is the man, Matthew Berry, on his own solo stuff. His own Neil Young tip.
He discovered the game theory probably the same day that I did.
Yeah,
I really like that new track. Joey, he was also, I think his name is Barry Barry. Barry Barry of the Berries was also in Happy Diving, who were on Top Shelf in like 2015. But that has Barry Barry of the Berries and then Sammy Lito from Toner and the Tony Molina Band.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, that band was sick. We love Toner on this podcast.
Toner's cool.
Yeah, I like that Barry's track a lot. I think that he's kind of one of those people that like toes the line of being so much like what he's listening to at that moment at times, but good songwriting. Yeah, I'm excited to check out that record. I'm probably going to buy it.
Yeah, it's cool because he brings in some more of the hard rockin' elements back into the fold. Unlike the last record he did, which is pretty mellow considering what he's done in the past. So it's really, really great.
Nice. Yeah, that one was not for me, but it's okay. I didn't hate it.
You just don't like to rock, and that's fine. We understand.
I'm just saying I probably won't check it out. Where the other ones, I will. Looking for something to listen to, I'll go back to Strawman Army and Flower Town.
Cool.
It's cool. I feel like we've got a nice like 2 out of 3. Actually, I think Tim likes all of your songs though today.
And I liked all of Tim's songs. Me and Tim we have that connection.
Yeah.
Well, I don't like that Strawman Army that much. So I wouldn't go that far.
Nice, nice, nice. 2 out of 3.
Always keep him at a distance. Yeah. Never get too close to Hollywood.
That's very true. You don't have
Pat just loves everything.
No.
Except for that Huff Stuff magazine song. Oh, nice.
Well, we're gonna close this one out with another La Vida Muse track.
Hell yeah.
I know, Joey, this is one of our favorite current bands, Algara, with Vete a Suicia, which I'm sure Diego will correct me on at some point, so I apologize for pronunciation.
Nice. They are touring in America, so if you have a chance to see him, go see him. But if you don't, whatever, just listen to the song. And see you guys later.
Bye.
Have a good night. Or I'll have a good night. You have a good rest of your day.
Bye.
Love you guys.